Father, we pour our hearts out before you. We love you, Lord. Just want to encourage you just to continue to worship the Lord. Tell him how much you love him, how much you care for him. Tell him who he is to you. Lord, we thank you that you are the lover of our soul. We are enabled to love you because you first loved us. I thank you that you're my healer, my deliverer, my comfort, my guide. You are my life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We adore you. We worship you. We pour out our hearts before you. Search us, Lord. Search our hearts that there be no unclean thing within us.
Yes, Lord God. Meditation of our hearts.
We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We thank you for the weapons that you have given us. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, they are not carnal, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of strongholds. Every stronghold in our thought life, in our mind. For your word is powerful. You created the universe with a word. I want to remind you of a scripture in James chapter 5. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. To bring everything out that is in darkness, in the recesses of our heart, of our mind, bring those things out to the light so they're exposed, that we may find healing, not just physically, but mentally, in our souls and in our spirits. And then the scripture goes on and says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And I want you to hear two things from this passage, at least two things. The effective prayer of a one righteous man can accomplish much. Doesn't say that you need to get so many people to agree in prayer with you. It says that the effective prayer of one righteous person. God is looking for a righteous man and a righteous woman to hear what he's saying, so he may release his will from the heavens. Because the Bible tells us that the body of Christ, we are seated with him in the heavenly places, and he's desiring to bring heaven to earth. Matter of fact, that's how this age is going to end up. Heaven's coming to earth, and this earth is going to be restored and redeemed. Praise the Lord. But the effective prayer of one righteous man can accomplish much. And notice from this, it says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. See, sometimes we look at Jesus and we say, well, he was the Son of Man. That's why he did this and he's able to do that. But I can't do this. Well, Jesus even said that you shall do the same things I did, and even greater. Notice from this verse as well, and it just kind of hit me this morning. It doesn't say Elijah was able to stop the rain because he was a prophet, because he was gifted. It says he has a nature just like ours. The focus was on the nature, not on his gift as being a prophet. Okay, you didn't hear that. He was effective because of his nature, and he was righteous before the Lord, and one righteous man. Elijah didn't call for a band of prophets to fast and pray for 6 months so it would stop raining. He spoke and it happened because he has a nature just like ours. When we are born again, we have the nature of Christ on the inside of us, and we are righteous before him. And when we hear what God is saying and we say exactly what God is saying, it's got just as much authority, just as much powerful power as he said it himself. Yes. That's just an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. And when we're sick in our body, when we're not feeling well in our body, we get a word from the Lord and we declare it over our body. We shall be healed. Jesus spoke a word, or he touched, or he had him do something, that when we hear accurately from the word, we shall be healed. Amen. How many of you, is anybody sick this morning, not feeling well? Maybe you have a disease in your body. Maybe you've been putting up with something for a long time and you should not be putting up with it any longer. Anybody here? Anybody want to be healed? I mean, if you don't want to be healed, keep your hand down. It's okay. It's just your choice. The Lord says, I set before you life and death. Choose life, but it is your choice. See those hands that are raised up? Those of you, would you go and lay your hand on them and just pray for them? Hear what the Lord is saying. Just pray over them for their bodies to be completely and totally healed. We don't want anybody in pain this morning to hear the word of God. Amen. So if you're in pain, raise your hand. Come on, the rest of you that are not in pain, go over, lay your hands on them, pray for them. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father. The children's bread, thank you for our inheritance. For we are not bound, nor are we confined to the limitations of this natural world. Glory. Thank you for calling us to the supernatural that supersedes everything in the natural. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. How many of you, if you don't need to raise your hand, but if you're born again and you know you have been born again and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, I just want to tell you something. You are no longer a slave. Slaves beg. Slaves do not inherit. Only sons inherit. The sons of God will inherit the king, and it pleases God to give us freely the kingdom. Doesn't mean we have to work for it or earn it. It pleases him to give us everything. And so even when we're sick in our body or we have an issue, we don't have to beg God for it. He said he's already provided it. We just need to receive what he's actually already given, get a clear word on what he's given, and then say and do what he's showing us to say and to do. And we'll have the results. Why don't you agree with me with just something? This is a stronghold of our mind. Even as Christians, even though we have the word of God and we read some things, we read about the miracles of God and the way Jesus lived his life and all of these things, and somehow life happens and we don't really see the things that we know are in the Bible, and somehow we've convinced ourselves in a large part that that's for when Jesus returns. It's really not for now. And I've talked with a lot of people over the years that have a real trouble with faith of just believing for healing for their physical bodies. And one of the reasons that I've heard a lot is because they've never seen anybody else healed. They've never seen it manifest in their body. But we have to make a decision and a choice that we're not going to go by what we've seen. We're not even going to go and live by our experiences. We're going to live by what the Word of God says. See, that's faith. That's trusting that even though I may not see it, even though I may not hear it, if it's in the word or if he's speaking it, then that's what is true and that's how I'm going to live my life. Amen? Y'all with me on that? Praise God. Well, we are just so excited. Our brother Kamal, he's such a good friend to me. He's a great friend to our congregation. And I'm so excited every time we get together and get to spend some time together like we have. I'm looking forward to the word that he has for this congregation. We didn't make this a real public event like we've done in the past. And I believe the Lord, that the Lord draws people, that people that are sensitive to the Spirit of God will be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. And the word of God, and when a prophet speaks, when the word of God goes forth, it goes forth into the atmosphere, into the region, and it affects the region that they're in. And I believe the Lord has given Kamal a word, and we have given him freedom to say, do whatever he feels like the Lord is speaking to his heart to be able to do that. So, Father, we pray, we come together, we thank you that you are God, our Lord, and our Master. Thank you for this divine appointment, this divine hour. For, Father, we acknowledge that you are arranging things in the Spirit. You are putting the parts of the body where you decide and determine those parts are to be. And, Father, I pray that we would have ears to hear, eyes to see in the Spirit, and we would not choose to be confined by the natural limitations this world has, but we would be free and be only confined by the Spirit of God. And so, God, I pray that every person in this room, every person that hears by tape, would be free in their physical bodies, in their mind, and in their spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. How many of you know there's a lot of things going on in the world, huh? We're 1 week into the Jubilee year, the Super Shemitah. And I'm looking for a reset in my own life. We saw a lot of things. I know Renee and I, and we've talked about it, seen a lot of things this last year, this Shemitah year that has happened to us, many in our congregation. Well, I'm looking for that super Shemitah this year. You know, what I'm looking for is a reset. I believe the Lord has spoke to my heart that there's a reset, even for our country, that it's coming somehow. I don't know what that's going to look like, but there's a reset that is coming. I've been believing for a long time with the understanding and the revelation of Ecclesia and the kingdom of God on earth that we are going to begin to rule and reign like God caused us to do. As we are hearing God accurately and we're praying and we're declaring what he has to say, that we are going to rule and reign and not other men. The body of Christ, that Jesus through his ecclesia is going to begin ruling and reigning like never before. And I'm excited about that, and I'm ready for that. Would you please welcome my very good friend and our friend, Kamal Saleem. Oh, just one more thing. How many of you noticed our new pulpit? Well, Kamal's going to break it in, but I needed to stand behind it just once, all right, just and touch it. Now you have it.
Well, thank you so much for the welcome, but more than anything else, it's really, I don't need you to welcome me because I'm home, you know, and this is not a place that I come to speak. This is a place to continue, be with my family, and let you know what the Lord is doing, you know, in the world out there and where we are in time and what's our purpose for such time as this. We are, you know, your ministry, your church, you support our ministry to go and do things. We go to places, a lot of people are not able to go to those places. We stand before Senates, we stand before the House of Reps, we stand before governors. We move and change things in the nation. We are fighting on every front, and God has used us to be a spear in the eyes of Satan. You know, we are blinding him daily, and we are causing issues, even though out on the outside things looks like bleak, but on the inside, God is in charge, and he has a remnant. And a remnant of the living God are still alive, and they are not dead. You know, and as long as God lives, so shall his people live. Unless God dies, and he doesn't die, he is a God that he could not lie. So therefore, we are moving to something new, and we are moving into the age of the suddenlies. What I mean by that is, you know, in the book of Genesis, the word of God spoke about, you know, when God created time, day, and hour, and all these elements for us to measure things with. But then God speaks about the other things, and they are the things in his time, in that day, in that hour, what will happen. He said, in this day, in this hour, at that time, I will cause this to happen. We have crossed into a time that we have not been this way before. Moses crossed that barrier, and he walked on a dry ground because he declared the glory of the living God. And then Joshua did the same thing. God gave the promises to Joshua to walk in the places just like Moses did, and he crossed to the promised land. Noah, in the same manner, he did the same thing. He crossed with the living being with him into a new age that God created for the earth. And the same manner, when we see Lot, he moved out of chaos and destruction when God was destroying two states, two nations, Sodom and Gomorrah. These are our element. The word of God says, in the last days, everybody say, in the last days.
In the last days.
Jesus said, in the last days, he said, it'll be like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It'll be in the days like in the days of Noah. But the best part, he said, it'll be like in the days of Elijah. And the days of Elijah are focused because this is when God was lifted up. He said, if you lift my name, I will draw all mankind unto you. Now he said, I am your glory. I am the lifter of your head. What is that supposed to mean? If he is our glory and he is the lifter of our head, why are we seeing these issues happening in the United States of America? Why America is under invasion and being destroyed little by little? Why the glory and God, you know, if we are his glory and we are the lifter that he lifted us, why we're not doing what God called us to do and be where God called us to be? Moses. Moses was a very unique person. And the uniqueness about Moses, I want to go in depth about this. But let me take you through those things. You know, in the Word of God says, if one man pray. Everybody say, if one man pray. This is when Abraham stood before God. He said, if there's 50, if there's 10, if there's, you know, God says, if there's one man prayed, God will make the difference. America is crying up to the Lord, and we are waking up for the first time in history since the church went to slumber. The church is coming alive. And I want to emphasize on this because something what Pastor Joe said, There's a shift. There's a standard. There's a sudden something. The Word of God says when the enemy come like a flood, God raises up a standard. And the standard is in his people. The standard because in our weaknesses, his strength is perfect. When Moses won with Joshua and Caleb in the valley, what happened? Pastor Joe highlighted on it. He said, you know, we need to speak. We are the sons of God. We need to speak to our circumstances. Speaking to our circumstances is the most important thing. What Joshua did, he spoke to the sun. He said, be still, O sun. Be still, O moon, and do not move. And the day was drawn all day. And God strengthened Israel's arms, their arms to fight and their fingers to war. That day they demolished the Amalekite. The Amalekite were the giants of that time. Today, America is crossing a time of where the giants are in the land. The giants are marching in. We have, you know, the LGBT, homosexuality, and lesbianism. We have, you know, we have socialism. We have Islamism. We have secularism. We have liberalism. We have every other ism in here. And these are the giants for this day because the Word of God says we do not fight flesh and blood. We don't war against it, but we war against principalities. We war against powers. These principalities are the prince under Satan. The powers are the FBI and the CIA for Satan in our life to act and react. And they're assigned to us individually and collectively to wear us down. We got to look beyond the battle because the battle, you know, it's very important. I'm going to go out of my notes. Isaiah 43 and 26. The Word of God says, put me in remembrance. What he's asking, he's challenging his people. He said, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. Let us reason. Let us talk. Let us talk about this. You have issues? Bring them to me. And challenge me with this. And he said, state your case. Tell me what it is. Don't be shy. I'm a daddy. God, you know, and so he said, that I may acquitted you. He is asking, challenge me here. And I may agree with you. And he said, in other phrase, he said, or find you innocence. God is looking for his people innocence. And he wanted to acquit us against all this judgment that is coming to the land. And so, but his people got to find who he is. And they got to walk to him and challenge him. We got to go to the court of the living God before we go to the court of the world. Because if we complain about the issues, we are nothing more than grumblers and complainers. And where we're going requires warrior. It doesn't require cry, you know, cry baby. Wah, wah, wah. God created food and provided food and he made it plenty. But God wants us to seek and eat. He said, you know, he said, taste. You know, taste my goodness. And, you know, because he wants us to taste all the goodness that he created. But we got to come to the table of the king. The table is open for this time. When God spoke to his, you know, to his servant, he said, go invite everybody to come and dine with me. The table is set. The food is cooked. Everything in perfect divine order. And what did the people say when he went and sent them? He said, oh, I just got married. I'm going to exercise my marriage right, my marriage right. And the other one says, well, I just bought me a piece of land. So I'm going to go ahead and walk it out. The other one says, I bought me a pair of oxen. I bought me an SUV and I bought me a Mazda RX-7, whatever that may be. And I'm going to go ahead and drive. I'm going to take a vacation. The book of Ecclesiastes said there's a time for everything under heaven. There's a time to celebrate and there's time to war. There's time to laugh and there's time to cry. There's time for everything. And we are coming to the time that we must understand the season. The tribe of Hazakar, the uniqueness about these people were not the normal people because they pained their self to go out of their comfort zone to make the difference. And when they went out of their comfort zone, they understood the time. Why? Because they went before God and God showed them everything that is going to take place. And what happened, the best part about this, they made the difference. They created a shift. So what happened when they shifted, God shifted with them. And God put them in the book of remembrance and he said, remember the tribe of Hazakar. The church today is the tribe of Hazakar, and I'll go about this more in a minute. In Zechariah 10:1, and he said, ask the Lord for the rain in the time of the latter rain. Everybody say latter rain. We are coming to the end of the age. Jesus said, he said, you know, I will be with you even to the when? To the end of the age. And this age is expiring. And now the time of man is coming up to an end. And the time of the Lord is coming to move forward. How do we know this? When we look at the month of September and we move from the month of Elul, which is the Jewish calendar, that was the gate of repentance. God wants us to repent. And what happened here is God is calling us to repent because he's doing something new. And so now we crossed in the month of Tishri. Month of Tishri is a new beginning. Everybody say new beginning. This is very important place because the month that comes after, it is the month of deliverance. There is a deliverance that's coming from heaven that we did not work for, but God has going to give us for this because God is in covenant with us and his covenant is yes and amen. Because when he made a covenant, he made it by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. This is a covenant that God, that speak to God, just like when the sons of Adam killed, you know, one killed the other, his blood was crying out before the living God. And the blood of Christ today witnessed before humanity and he overcame hell, sin, and death. And now we are standing in a place of victory. Deliverance, in other words, it is a victory. A victory is very important for us to understand. The book, in the book of Judges, it tells us about Samson. Samson is the type and shadow of the church today. Samson was a very unique man. Samson was one of the judges, just like the church is. God called the church in the last days to be a judge toward what? Humanity. He said, go. He gave us a commission. And that commission has been judged and has been given us exercise in the heavenlies in the power of the living God. He said, go in my name. So now he commissioned us to be ambassadors, to be mighty warriors, to be the sons and daughters of the living God. Why? Because God has created family and he's calling his family. It's time to arise and make the difference. Now, I want you to see this with me. What Samson did, Samson realized that the gifts are there. The gifts are there. And many of us have gifts. It doesn't mean that we're in the right place. Why? Because Samson was messing around. God says, don't mess it up. And he did. He kept playing with the women. And he kept doing different things. God says, get your flesh out of these things and look at me. And so what happened, the church today is looking at the gifts. And they're celebrating the gifts and not they're not celebrating the ultimate gift that was given to us from the beginning of time, that he's coming back to redeem his bride, bride. The P and the B in Arabic, we don't have P and B, we have one letter. So I'm always... And if you're right up front, you'll understand more so because I spit. It's a camel syndrome. I brought it with me from Middle East. So Samson, he celebrated the world as he was celebrating God, but he did it in his timing, in his purpose. Addictions, problems, issues. Whatever is keeping you from your God is robbing your gift that God has given you. Because even though you operate in the gifts and you have an anointing, if you are not with God, this God, you are robbing God. Why? Because the gift must bring element of truth and may and bring deliverance. Because if it's not bringing deliverance, there's something wrong. You either don't want it or you either playing in the wrong camp. Intimacy with the living God is the marriage that he's acquiring. And that marriage will bear fruit of deliverance and will bear overcoming and breakthrough because he overcame. I was praying one day in the morning, and as I was praying, God showed me a wrestling ring. And in a wrestling ring, a man stood on one corner, and he was clueless. He thought of himself, he's big, he's cut, he has six packs, he has big biceps and triceps, but his legs were weak. He worked only part of his body. He didn't work the whole body. And so what happened is, on the other side stood Satan, and he stood with all his cohort. Spirit of lust, spirit of addiction, spirit of torment, murdering spirit, spirit of this. And what happened, every time this guy, he thought he can do it by himself, and he were there. These people just nailed him to the ground, and he didn't know what was nailing him. He was dealing with all those spirits. Beside him stood Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And these people were playing tag team, and this man was playing by himself. God says, come from among them. Come out from among them so I can be with you. And God want to enable us today. And that enablement, it is the power of the living God, the one who is seated on a throne. And when that man tagged the hand of Jesus and Jesus stepped to the ring, every knee bowed before him. The victory was won instantly. This battle required Jesus Christ and required him to stand in the ring because it is not by might nor by power, but by your spirit declares the Lord. His spirit, the Holy Spirit declares the Lord. So Samson, what happened? He played and then they blinded him. And when they blinded him, what happened? He died to self. And now he has no women to deal with, and he has no place to run, and he was in one place. And he said, show me where the pillar of the city are. And as they put his hand on the pillars, he moved and he shifted the nation. The church is made to shift nations, not a nation, but nations. And that day he killed more people. He took out more of the enemy than his entire lifetime. Time has come for the church must die to self. And when we die to self, we're going to shift and we're going to cause something. And that something is going to be an earthquake and God is not going to be in it. And it's going to be a fire and God is not going to be in it. And it's going to cause an earthquake and God is not going to be in it. And then God is going to speak. And when his word is spoken, it's going to be the word of the living God speaking to us in spirit and truth. And that's what God is calling in the church today need to come back and say, for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. That's where we're at. The church and Samson, the church is a type and shadow, is a judge. Your pastor has written a book. It's called The Ecclesia. Show me all those who read The Ecclesia. Put your hand up in the air. That's a mandatory reading. Do you know, pastor, I'm taking it with me on the road. And now pastors are reading it. And they're going like, oh, my God. I'm going, it's about time. We have two methodology today. We have those who stands and fight, and we have the Forrest Gump methodology. They're the one that's running all the time. Every time they see somebody, run, Forrest, and they're running for their life. And a church is running away because they don't want to make their business with God. They want to make business with the world. And what happened, we say, why we are beaten? Because you need to tag team with God himself. So when the church died to itself, the church will do greater works than ever did before. And what is God coming for? He's coming for a glorious church. He's coming for a glorious church. So there's a separation between the wheat and the chaff. Where are you? And how do you define yourself? How do you know if you are wheat or chaff? How do you know? Very simple. If there's substance in your life and you're making different and you're drawing people to God, then you are in God. If you are not, then you are just making fire for yourself and it caused nothing. It's just Another thing, everybody burning for no reason. We burn like anything else. We're going to die sooner or later. But this age may not die because we're going to see the Lord. So check your substance and say, what am I doing? It's not what's in it for you. It's what's in it for him. If God is in it, then you know that you're in the right place. That's your measuring stick. If you're affecting people around you, how many people did you brought to the Lord this last 2 days? Oh, forget about last week. Oh, forget about last week, last month, last year, last 10 years. How many people did you bring to the Lord? This is how you know your substance. God, he said, go. That's mean the going is outside of the church and not inside the church. We come here and celebrate and rekindle and we fill up. But God wants us to go out there because he has a plan for us. He said, I have great plan for you, declares the Lord. A plan for what? For good, for hope, for future. And he made a promise, nothing will harm you. If you are with me and I'm with you, then it's going to be all right. I'm going to be with you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will give you the ground that you stand on. This is the message before I take you to all the other things. But this message is for this time, for this day, and for this church. This is for you. Say, this is for me. That's three of you. Say, this is for me.
This is for me.
Mean it. Good. To God be the glory. Who said that? Amen. You go, Russ. 2 Kings 6:17. Elisha prayed for his servant for his eyes to be opened. When did you pray for your eyes to be opened? Have you seen what God has given you to do? You have more angels. You have more glory. You have more power. The gifting, I told that story before at your church, but I'm going to say it again. One man, you know, was on a bed of death and he died that day. And he was taken up to heaven. This is a true story. He's a pastor today. And he said when he was arrived, they told him, you know, you have no time. Jesus wants to see you right away because he's sending you back. You're not going to die. And this man telling the story and he's crying. And he passed by a place. It's a room and it has his name on it. As many, each one has a place in heaven. And so he said, is this my name? Is this me? They said, this is you. He said, what's in there? They said, you don't have time. You need to go back. And he said, I insist. So he insisted and he put demand and they opened a door for him. In his room, it was vast city. It was filled of gifting. The gifting, some of them are skyscrapers, some of them city size, some of them continent size, some of them just this big. All of them were beautifully set together and they're in a perfect ribbon. And he said, are these my giftings? They said, yes, these all are your giftings. He said, will I have them when I come to heaven? They said, no, those are your giftings while you're living on earth. But you refused to have them. You don't want the gift. The gift has to be thought out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything shall be added unto you. Righteousness is an act of war. Righteousness, when you take in righteousness, you war against the enemy. Let God arise and let his enemy be scattered. And let the righteous be glad. Why? Because they stood in righteousness in holy power. There's a man and woman, I don't remember their name, but I think Deborah and Tom, right there. I want you to stand up. I don't want, you know, I just, these men, this lady and this gentleman, they fight for our born children. They're one, they're being slaughtered every day. And there are thousands, hundreds of thousands. These people laid their life on the line and they said, for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. These people are standing in righteousness because it's an act. It's not something you drink or you buy at 7-Eleven. It is something you dress in day and night. And so when they stood there, they have shut down clinics in the city of parenthood. They have shut down many other things. And today they are saving lives. These people are a perfect example in our city to be praised and adored. And if you have no clue and you don't know what to do, they need help. Go say, how can I plug in? This is how we support them. How do we do this? We draw nigh unto him. Drawing nigh unto God is drawing into his righteousness. And then you walk in holiness. The holiness, it is something totally different than righteousness. But I want to honor you today. And I want to give you a hand clap. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for being the city on a hill, salt and light when we need you in this nation. You deserve to be honored. So now, going back to the study. God opened his servant's eyes because he cried out. He said, open his eyes. So he opened his eyes. And he saw the chariot of fire ready to devour humanity. Just give us excuse to take them out. God is a God of power and righteousness. And if it's a call after his own heart, then it is his. It is his battle strategy. It's his call. This, you know, and the difference between the two is when they prayed for his eyes to be opened. There are a second set of eyes that we have not used. This second set of eyes is deeper than those eyes. They see into the third heaven, and these are the places where our eyes and ears are open to the living God, and he sees and hears and knows, and we walk with him. And we don't walk with him only, but we walk in him. That is the place. So in Exodus, you know, this is where the church is now, and this is what we could do. We need to pray for the opening of our eyes and move in that righteousness that he called us to, and that's the age of war. The church must move into war, because the church is not a place of gathering. The church is a place, a parliament that brings the presence of the living God among humanity. The church is what makes the difference. And when you stand in righteousness and holiness and make your declaration, fire will come from heaven and devour the altar of every presence of darkness. Our current government has built three big altars, the altar of Baal. It's right there in the White House. The rainbow of the promise of the living God shined upon the White House. That is not with the enemy, because God is God of glory, and he is not pathetic God to change his glory and power for something like this. And then he built the altar of Jezebel, of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then he built the altar of Amalek. The altar of Amalek is where the children are being butchered every day. This is where we're given hate offering, and we're giving it to Satan. Our children are being murdered alive. In schools, in the neighborhood, every place, in universities, colleges. The church said, it's not my fight. The church lost its innocence, and now she doesn't know how to come back because they look at their shames and dishonor. And so what happened? They don't want to step to the forefront. But God would say to you, I am a God of instance, and I'm always in season. You know, when Satan stood before the throne of God in the beginning, before he fell, he used to hold the glory of the living God. So God see through the body of Satan so he would not destroy humanity. Moses had the same deal with God. Moses was like the church today. He heard the voice of God. He was sitting in the palace of the king. He was dining on the best table there is to have. And he was feeding, and he was royalty. He didn't know that he was a slave. He didn't know that he was a son of the living God. He didn't know that he was chosen or selected. He just lived his life. And what happened? The Israelite cried. And when they cried, the book of Exodus, the word of God says, Israel was crying and they were in slavery. They were building the kingdom of the enemy. The church today is building the kingdom of the enemy today. A big part of it. And so what happened? God called Moses. Moses heard, and then Moses was cast out in the desert when he came to free his own family, his slave. And when he walked in the desert, it was the best place. The desert may be our best place in time, because that's a place of learning. This is a place of humility. This is a place of victory, because the victory has to be walked out. And there you start sloughing out your shame and your flesh and everything that holds you from the glory of the living God. And then when he went to Midian, and he was over there, and he married that woman, and now he was a shepherd boy, what happened is he saw the fire that's glowing up there on a mountain. And when he went to see, like, what is this fire? What is standing up there? And so what happened when he came and he looked and he saw the fire, and the word of God says, And Moses turned from hearing God to seeing God. And when God saw that he turned, everybody say turn. God there spoke to him. God is ready to speak to those who are ready to turn from their own circumstances. If your circumstances get you in a headlock, just grab its hand and break it out. And then get out of that headlock and bring it to submission. Grab its hand that will not grab you and grab its head. So we got to grab the head and the tail together. And the church got to say, I have a promise. Everybody say, I have a promise. That everything's going to be all right. That is the promise of the living God, and God is ready to give his promise to all that believe in him and love him, because it is there, and he's crying out. If one man prayed, who is this man that I can give him my promise? The promise has been given to you. Why? Because the church today has a promise, and the promise is in the blood of the living God, Jesus Christ, and that blood is crying out, come and have, you know, our inheritance is not only in heaven, our inheritance here is on earth. And so what happened? Do you know who makes it to hell? The majority of people who make it to hell? The cowards. You know who the coward is? The one who does not stand for himself. The coward is the one who does not stand for his family. The coward, the one who does not stand for his city. The coward, the one who does not make the difference when he can, when he's equipped, and he know he can do it. And he chooses, I'm going to be coward because I'd rather be a dog than being a king. Cowardness has no place in the church. Why? Because cowardness is not one of the names of the living God. He said, I am Jehovah Gabor, God of power and might. You know, and God is calling for his mighty, righteous church, those who know their identity. And if you go look in the mirror and you see yourself, you saw it all wrong. If you don't see Jesus Christ in there, because that is the character that God is looking for. And that is a character of victory. We are meek, we're humble, we are wise, but yet we are deadly. We are deadly. You know, when somebody slapped me on the face, I just break their hand. I don't turn my head to the other side. Why? Because the people see the church as a lame church, and the church is fake. We worship idol, we worship nothing, and now people are laughing at church. The people got to see the church is the church of the living God. This is where God, we say, in God we trust. And when we say it, we can't be shameful. And we say, I believe in Jesus. You know, when they looked at me, you know, right there down in D.C., they said to me, what made you so different, Kamal? I said, Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. I was on Fox News. I've been interviewed right there. They used to have me, and I was asked, Kamal, why are you different? You used to be a terrorist. You came to kill us and destroy this nation. What caused you to be where you are today? They expected something, you know, politically correct. What's the motto for Fox News? Right and fair and balanced. I said, his name is Jesus. The interviewer went like this. Thank you, Kamal Saleem. Bye-bye. I'm going like, you don't want Jesus? I come in a package. He is the box that I come in. In God, I do trust. But that choice got to be at your job, because your ministry is at your job. It's got to be in your home. You could not live double lifestyle. Samson did, and one day he was blinded. Before you get blinded, make the difference. Don't mess it up. So the church got to turn. We heard the voice of God, and he commissioned us. Now we got to turn into God. And when we turn, God is going to do something. And then God spoke to Moses, and he said, go in my name. He said, whom shall I tell them? Send them. That's sent me. He said, tell them, I am. Everybody say, I am.
I am.
So when I say, what's your name, sir? Richard. No, your name is not Richard. I am Richard. Greater is he that is in me than he the one in the world. You are, I am son, and you are his glory, and you are his present, and you are what he called for such time. You are born not by mistake or a hiccup or by just your mom and dad just went like, oh, let's have another baby. You are born specifically because before God created the heaven and earth, he thought you out and he declared you will live in that time. And this is your purpose, and you'll have victory, and you have giftings, and this is what you'll do. And when we step into the shoes of the warrior, God's going to war before us, just like he did with Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, one day, the Syrian, the Mount Seir, everybody came, and they're marching. And they're marching to come cross the Dead Sea to destroy Jerusalem and Judea. They want to surprise them, and there were numbers, there were in the hundreds of thousands. The Mount Seir were a mighty warrior of God. The Moabite, all the other one were mighty warrior. They're seasoned, the Syrian. And Jehoshaphat ran, instead of go to fight or run out of, you know, run forest out of Jerusalem, run for your life, evacuate, he ran to the temple. Joshua's strength was in the temple. What made Joshua special is he ran to the temple. And so now what happened is he ran to the temple and he cried out to the Lord. And he made a decree. Everybody say decree. We got to make our declaration today. And when you make your decree, stand on it and mean it. And he, in his decree, he said, when he gathered the sons of Jerusalem and Judea in the temple and they stood before him, and when they stood before him in vast number, they were fasting and praying before they came 3 days. And then when they arrived, he said, God, aren't you the God of our forefather? Didn't you make a covenant with our forefather? Didn't you give us this land as an inheritance? Didn't you call us here to take it over and inhabit the land? And you told us to stay away from Syria and from Lebanon and all those regions because you said the time has not come. These people are marching on us today and they want to take us out. And you told us not to take them out. Father, this battle is yours. And he is crying before the Lord. And a prophet spoke. And when he spoke, he said, the Lord has heard your heart cries. And he said, today, the battle belongs to the Lord, declares. God the Father declared, you know, the battle belongs to him. But the victory belongs to you. Raise up your army and go march, and you'll meet them at this place. They're going to cross over. They're going to cross over. He said, meet them there. The reason why I'm telling you this, because we stand on the word of God many times. Oh, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and return from wicked way. It became a good poem. We tell a good poem. It has no value. And so what happened is when that happened and God says, go there, and God is going to give you victory. When God says, go, and Jesus did say, go, the victory is yours even before you step in the battle. The battle is the season of the warrior. The battle is your seeds to victory. If you have not understood your seed yet, go to the battle and you will understand when you step there, he is with you, declares the Lord. He's going to give you the battle. He's going to give you the victory and he's going to give you the loot. He rose over there. And what happened? They turned against each other. They killed each other. We see right now America crossing into season where our government have sold United States of America to China and to Russia and to Islam. Right now they have sold them everything. They are taking this nation down. If our president anything, and I say if Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know our president, if he's anything, he is a good businessman. You know, there is something in our world, you know, and in the world of business, when I was there on the other side in information technology, we always, smaller fish bought the bigger fish. We bought a big corporation. Why? Because this corporation has something we want. And what we want over this, what happened is, what are we going to do with everything? Because that's going to overwhelm us financially. So what happened? We take this corporation and we start selling it in pieces. We sell one piece here, we sell one piece here, We sell one piece here, and we make more money than what we bought it for, and we keep what we want to do. What's happened in our nation, this nation has been sold out for one thing, because they want it to be destroyed. Why they want it to be destroyed? Because it is God's presence on earth. And I'm not saying about, you know, a lot of people look at American exceptionalism. American exceptionalism is good, but when the church does not stand in God's exceptionalism, then it is not good. It's a prostitution. It's good to be a good-looking model. JQ, baby. But what? If you're not seeing Jesus Christ marching in, then there's something, because the whole world and its inhabitants is going to be gone. So what happened? They are selling our economy to Russia and China. China today is stepping forward to take the presence of the United States of America. Russia stepping to take the place in where America is standing in the Middle East. Their military landed, and they're going to move into. And guess what? Russia is going to save the day. And even Bibi, Benjamin Ben Netanyahu, what happened? Before he's coming to America, he's going to stop by Putin to take his grace first and ask for his permission to speak to Obama. So what happened? We are losing. And why Obama is doing this? He's prostituting America by allowing Islam to take place, and he's preparing America to be a Muslim nation. He's preparing everything that America will be an Islamic nation overnight. And a lot of us, we are not seeing this because we are not engaging. The Great Commission is to engage. In order to go, we must engage. It can't just be go. You know, I've seen some people go into on mission trip. Nice hotel, nice places. They eat. They spend more money on self than they spend, you know. And, oh, we talked to the concierge. Really? Where are you going to eat tonight? Is that what you talked about? No, we talked about Jesus. We talked here and there. They come the whole thing in the name of what? Jesus Christ. That's a harlot. That is not the bride of Jesus Christ. She is sleeping with the world and lying in the name of the Lord. We can't do this, because you could not mock God, the word of God says. So we're coming to this place. And now what happened, our America is being prepared for destruction. There are so much more I can tell you. The Lord was pouring on me last night. He said, tell them. And I sat with him last night and I was getting tired. And he kept saying, tell them. Every time I opened my eyes, he said, tell them. You know, it's a time to awake, really. You know, and, you know, when Jesus was in the garden and he was praying and his hour come, his apostles slept. But the time right now for the apostle to awake, because he's coming to his rightful place. And if you don't know where your rightful place is, because everyone has a place God called you for, you got to find your vision. Let me tell you a few things. This is, if you want to take notes, this is the place where you got to take notes. This is, when I was last night praying and the Lord showed me this, I was going, hallelujah. I was dancing. There's six essential things for the warrior. What makes you a warrior? Six essential things. The first one, get under the authority. Find your place in the body of Christ and get under that authority. And don't go to the church where they're making their peace with the world. There's a lot of churches out there. They're a good club or a good barn. They milk good cows, or they're a good place for a date, or for stiff drink. There are a lot of those churches. The grassroots of America is in churches like this. This is the grassroots of power. If you are not belonging to a place where, and you gotta, when you go there, you gotta submit. Everybody say submit. Because that authority over you, what qualify you, because leadership start by being a follower of Christ. When you follow and you become a good follower, then God will make you a king. David was a shepherd boy, but God saw a king in him because he was a follower. He did not declare himself a king. Saul was, on the other hand, a king. I am Saul. If you have not met me yet, you go and dial 1-www. www.youtube.com. I'm rich. I have more money than all y'all. I have been working out. I have beautiful clothes. I'm smart. And if God spoke through a donkey, he can speak through me. David did not know who he was, but God did. David was ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? That's the first one. The second one, get on fire for the cause. If you don't have a cause, find one. Even if it's not yours, you will find yours when you're doing somebody else's cause. If you are clueless and you have no idea, find a cause and be part of this. Say, what part of the pie is mine? And then when you find a cause without passion is lame. It's called a lame duck. You know, if you don't have passion, get on fire. Move into the place where the Holy Spirit move on you with fire and power. The third place, be prepared for warfare. Warfare is what God is calling. He's calling his intercessors to step to the forefront. And what do you pray about? Say, well, I don't know what to pray about. Pray about the issues. They need intercessors, don't you? Start interceding. He need intercessor. Come and intercede. Intercede for your city, for your government, for your... Start praying. If the enemy is standing in our nation and destroyed, pray against the enemy. Take a stand. Be effective in your sphere of influence. Walk in there and make your declaration. Affect the atmosphere around you. Sooner or later, they go, he's got the right understanding. If you are in righteousness, if you are in God, God is with you. And God will not relent. Paul said, hey, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He was from New York, y'all. Number four, believe you can win. The identity of a winner is in him. Don't look at yourself in the mirror and say, poor me. I ate for 3 days and I only lost 1 pound. Do something about it. Believe you can do it and act upon it. Acting upon what you believe is where activates God's hand. He said he is our right arm in the battle. And so, but when you believe, you got to have a vision. A vision is one of the most important thing. If you don't have a vision, work under somebody else's vision and God will birth your vision. Number five, know your weapons. What did God made you? David, they put Saul's clothing on him. He said, this is junk, bunch of metals. I'm going to go there and this guy going to step on me like a can of green beans. He's done. What happened? He said, I have a slingshot. I killed the bear and the lion. I seized them. Let me have this. And they said, go, David. Know your weapon and walk in power. When you have your weapon, show off. Stand in your weapon, activated. Show off. Say, I am able. Say, everybody say, I am able.
I am able.
Last one says, go to the next level. Go to the next level. The next level is an excellence, is a place of excellence. Excellence is a choice. Excellence is a choice. How did I know what excellence is? I came from being a Muslim to meet my wife, and I found excellence. She is excellent. She does not mess around. As you all say it here in America, she doesn't BS. And I, you know, when I met her the first time, I said, Lord, one day when I grow up, I want to be just like her. And I heard the Lord said to me, he said, word for word, he said, how about the whole package? I said, is that you, God? I know who she is. She's an iron butterfly. She's the velvet hammer. She's going to crush me. Velvet hammer. And so what happened is, I found out it was the best things ever happened to me. I was forged with fire. My ministry birthed when I was able to change. Change is good. Change when you change toward God. God changed toward you. we made unholy alliances with Iran. The unholy alliances, everybody must make a declaration. I'm against it on your Facebook. Facebook is not for yourself. Facebook is the face of God. If you are a Christian, you got to reflect the face of God. If you're there, you're just trying to show off your muscles, you're in a big trouble. If you show off his muscles, people are going to be scared of you, as you all say here in the South. Sorry, that's scared, afraid. So what happened is, you know, we made unholy alliances. This unholy alliances was made with a country. It's an Islamic state. Iran is not a government, is not a republic. It is an Islamic state. What does that mean? What we made the deal with, we made an accord. Basically, we are sleeping with unholy alliances with Iran, and now we are open for judgment. But when you make your declaration, every place you go, where is that in the Bible? It's in the Bible. They took the blood and they put it on the doorsteps and they said, we're under the blood. And when you make your declaration, we are with Israel and we are not with Iran and we are against this accord and we are not in harmony with this current government, God will exalt you. Why? Because people need to hear righteousness and truth. You are the truth of the living God. And if the truth hide itself, then we became the presence darkness. We got to make our declaration. The second part, we have equipped. The reason why they don't want you to know what's in the accord, because they made a deal with China and Russia. And the deal is, you can deal with Iran as much as you want. And when Iran developed the nuclear rockets and what so have you, you still can deal with them. You have full accord. We just want to buy them the time to get up there. In the meantime, what happened? They are preparing the Middle East for World War III. And the World War III is about to take place. Saudi Arabia already went and met with Pakistan, and Pakistan is ready to ship those rockets to Saudi Arabia. And how they're going to do it without anybody finding, because there's satellites all over the world watching everything. These things are coming about. Before Iran or Saudi Arabia hit Israel, they will hit each other. I believe Iran will hit Saudi Arabia before Saudi Arabia hit Iran. And this place is going to go on fire. And so what happened to Saudis, they send their Prince Talal bin Abdulaziz. He is one of the 7,000 princes, and he is the troublemaker in the United States of America. He's the one who's Islamicizing America. He met with Israel. And they want Israel to attack, to give them airspace over Saudi Arabia to go and attack Iran. But the United States government says, if Israel attack, Iran, then we will retaliate against Israel. They made that promise. So the enemy is making holy alliances with the enemy. Why they want to do this? Because the first declaration of our current government, he said, America is not a Christian nation. I don't want you, Christian. You've been holding the whole world to accountability. You know what? When we held all those people out there to accountability, terrorists were not there. They didn't want to kill us. Now that we are out there, they are here in our city. America is set for something to happen. Only the prayers of the saints can change that. And can we change it? Absolutely. If God is for me, who can be against me? Who will stand against me? We are in a place, we're ready to move in a place of power. So now what happened is the whole Middle Eastern world is about to go aflame. Guess what? In America, we've been created land. It's called Agenda 21. And also we've been creating, FEMA camps. Why are those big camps are for hundreds of thousands of people? Who are they going to put? Why all this food? Why all this weapon? Why? Well, guess what? The latest statistic by the Pew, they said between 2005 to 2050, Islam will accelerate in America to 1.79. So it'll be double, which is Islam will be greater in number than the American people. What does that mean? We'll have immigration by the probably 100 million Muslims coming here. You know, our current government been bringing people from Ethiopia, Also, Black Hawk Down, where did it take place? I'm sorry? Somalia. They bring in Somalis, and the Somalis have been joining Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab and, you know, ISIS. And ISIS right now has a presence in our nation. And our government know about it, just as they knew about ISIS in the Middle East, and they did not destroy ISIS, so they have allowed ISIS in America for such time as this and not destroying it. Why are they doing this? You know, I came from the other side. I came to destroy this nation. Who did not hear my story before? Put your hand up in the air. Keep it in the air. I want to see it. One, two, three, four. Okay, four. Well, I was born in Beirut, Lebanon. I was trained by Islamism to destroy civilization. I came to the United States of America sent by the Saudi government. I was sent in power. And what happened is I infiltrated your universities, your poor neighborhood, your jail system, and your political system. We bought everybody by mammon. Mammon was our way to buy every element of power. Today, the professors are turning everything our Muslim way, and the poor neighborhood are being Islamicized. They're building mosques and Islamic centers and Muslim schools. And our jail system, the biggest recruitment for Islam, for jihad, and our world is changing. But what happened when I got in a car wreck, God said right there before time, he said, I'm going to bring this dude, and I'm going to just bring him from the worst of the worst of the worst. And when he comes over there and he comes to America, and what happened? He's going to come against my people. And I'm a God of justice, so I have to judge him. But I'm going to judge him in a corner. So he calls me a car wreck where a 18-wheeler broadsided my car, cracked my neck in two places, and I cried, Mama. And when I was over there, the Christian people picked me up and took me to their home. In their home, I was introduced to the first Bible, the way they lived their life. The way they lived their life. How you live your life is you are the biggest Bible to everybody else. Tell them this is what Christianity is all about. So don't be hypocrite. And so what happened, that's the first part. The second part, while I was there in home, I saw the difference between my God and their God. And all of a sudden I realized one of them is a liar. And when I looked at their God and start looking at his character and looking at my God and his character, I found this dude is a liar and he is not a real guy. He's pretending. He's like, you know, what is that, you know, thing in follow the yellow brick road, you know, that guy, you know, with the Wizard of Oz. Fire. Hall of sound. But what's in there? There's a midget. I found my God is a midget. And he is a falling son. He fell from the grace of the living God in Isaiah. And his name is Satan. His character is to destroy humanity, and we were his tools. And I saw these people giving life, and I looked at this God. He loved his world. This one hated his world. This one gave his son, spirit of adoption of Jesus Christ. This one brought an orphan spirit. A man, his forefather, Abraham, fell, and he became the first orphan physical. And he is an out of the orphan spirit, spirit of shame and dishonor. This man gave his life. This one took over 300 million lives. Healed the sick, the blind, the dead. He changed even the prostitute. This one killed everybody. And when they came to him lame, he said, I could not use you. Go away. When I came to put the gun in my head to kill myself that day, God spoke. Our God is a living God. He is a not dead God. And when he spoke to me like a father. He called me by name. He knew my everything. And he said, come on, my son. Well, who are you? The other one does not have son. We are his slaves. The only one that can come to him is when you give your blood to him in martyrdom and you are a slave. This God called me my son, and I was in a place in my desert. If you're in a desert, run to Jesus, because he has a plan and future for you. Desert place is one of the best places if you understand your seasons. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God is with you, declares the Lord. That day, he said, call on a God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. When I heard he said that he's a God of family and he's a father of family, I fell on my knees and I called on a God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Behold, Jesus came to the room and he filled the room with his glory. And his name was Yahweh, the Lord is one. I came to understand the oneness of God for the first time, because I could not understand what's wrong with these Christian people. They're just losing it. So God in this three part, Father, Son, and Holy Mary, and sometime Holy Spirit, which one decide? And so, and I found out it is the body, the representation, the living God himself who spoke things in the beginning, and also his spirit that moves in the surface of the deep of all of our life. That's how he meets us individually. And all of a sudden, my mind was coming all together. And in his presence, there's a fullness of everything. There is no darkness in that place. You know who you are and what you believe in, because everything you're taught in your life is not real unless you stand before him. And that is the place where you bow before him. There on my knees, I said to him, "Who are you, my Lord?" He said, "I am that I am." I said, "What is that supposed to mean? I'm a Bedouin. I have no clue. They tell me kill, I kill. Beat somebody up, I'll do it. I was born for this. What is I am that I am?" He said, "I am the Aleph, I'm the Tav. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. I am everything. I have known you before I formed the foundation of the earth. I have loved you before I formed you in your mother womb." Kum, came out. That's why I called my ministry Kum. Kum means arise. I rose up, my neck was fixed, my collarbone. But that was not a miracle. I expect that from God. But the greatest miracle in our life, when our heart and our mind change. This is a miracle, because you could say all you want, I follow Jesus. It is not true unless that he is in your heart and in your mind. That's how we overcome. Let me tell you something about your citizenship. How are we doing on time? In a Muslim world, when you are born Muslim, you are Muslim. So now, if you leave Islam, they must kill you. That's a law in Islam. Anyone leaves Islam, kill him. That's Muhammad, what Muhammad said. But in Christianity, you could not be Christian unless you are born again. If you are not born again, you are not Christian. Your American citizenship is not real. This American citizenship, we love this nation, it's a junk. You can hang it anywhere you want. You can go ahead, sell it to somebody. You know, there's a festival down the street. It's a good place to sell it. You have to activate your citizenship. What's the activation of your citizenship? Is when you go and make the difference. If your strength in your Jerusalem, do it in Jerusalem. If it's in your Judea, do it in Judea. If it's in Samaria, go to Samaria. If it's in Pakistan, go to Pakistan. If God's sending you somewhere, he will be with you. Fear not. Your citizenship, it is, there are two nations birthed by God. Two nations on earth. Israel and the United States of America. These are the only two nations that are birthed by God for such time as this. God has planted them for you and I to live. And I know I didn't find myself until I came to this nation. I was blind, but now I see. And that's why I challenge my American citizenship is to stand. All of us are warriors. Your warring ground is different from one to another. Choose your warring ground. Choose your battle. And take action and be passionate about it. And when people see passion, they're going to go like, these people are crazy. They're rednecks. Well, I am redneck for God. I am not afraid. I'm not ashamed. Why I say this? Because, you know, if you know him, if you know him, you'll truly love him. If your relationship is not revealing him, you need to find out if the way through your relationship is the right way. You have a pastor in this city. His name is Joe Nicola. And his wife, she's a pastor in my face too. Both of them are. If you don't know, say, "I need to talk to you." Have a cup of coffee with them. They like coffee. Sit down with them. Ask them. Tell them, "This is where I am. What do I do?" Put them to work. They are looking for substance. You are substance. But you got to believe that you are. That day when I stood before Jesus Christ, I said to him, when I found that the changes in my life, I said, I will live and die for you, my Lord. He said, do not die for me. I died for you. For you, that you may live. I'm going like, that's nuts. I said, let me at them. I'm a warrior. By the skin of their teeth and by their eyelashes, I will make them Christians. Muslim style. I mean, I did it in a Muslim way. You got to be a Muslim. I'm going to kill you. All right, I'll be a Muslim. Don't kill me. So I go there and I'm going like, wow. I said, by the skin of their teeth, by eyelashes, I will make them Christians. He said, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are for you. Be an ambassador of mine. Wait a second. What is that supposed to mean? Walk with me. And when you are disciplined enough, you'll be my disciple. Give me everything you have, and I'll give you what I have. Give me what you don't have, and I'll give you my glory. We are coming to the final days of age. The blood moon is about to take place on this September. Next month, things are, you know, between here, 2015 to 2016, the Jubilee is at completion. We're coming to this. I mean, we came to the 70th. We're celebrating the 70th Jubilee. Jesus Christ is about to come to his throne. But first, he has to take his church. Five virgins were wise and five were lame. What makes the difference is the five, they were filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit. They were the presence of God in them. The other one, they have the oil of the world that was in them. What is your infilling? Who are, what spirit are you dealing with? Who's filling you up? Where are you spending most of your time? What's your lying about or protecting? What's your hiding? These are the one, the spirit that they're active in your heart, active in your life. And this is when you know it's not the Spirit of God. There are so many things that are taking place that our world is changing. America is not in the right place. But God is waiting for suddenly in us. And that place is coming very soon. Because that church is going to be glorious. Even though it looks like we're losing the battle, we're going to turn it around because we have a promise. And his name is Jesus. And our laws has been changed on every direction. There are so much. I wish I have two more hours.